Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I got caught in a little rainstorm coming in today, so I'm a little damp.
I heard it just pouring in buckets out there, so that's what you were facing coming down 23?
Yeah, Zach was doing... No, we are actually at Zach's ball game. It got rained out, and we got soaked getting back into the car, so we're a little damp. I'll catch pneumonia later on out of it.
That's what you're saying is I'm all wet.
Aren't I always on this show? That's what they say. Anyway.
No.
Well, anyways, what we do every weekend on the day on the Drift is go over the news of the week from the Daily Drift, and that's at www.thedailydrift.com. Yes, absolutely. So, lots to get through today, but I wanted to start out with a sponsor this half hour because it's kind of good news. This is a help wanted ad. Going to be a sponsor in the Current this month, and it's Waste Management, which is a big company. So they're looking for diesel mechanics, diesel technicians, who have 2+ years of experience in heavy trucks and diesel engines. They got competitive pay and great benefits. 1-877-220-5627, or you can go to jobs.wm.com. So that's Waste Management hiring diesel technicians. That's a good thing.
And you know, that's a growth industry because there's one thing that Southeast Michigan will never be short of, and that's waste.
Yes, garbage is a great, it's like being in the healthcare business. It's, you're always going to have customers. So garbage is a great business. And being diesels, more and more the automotive companies are putting out diesels for passenger cars too. So if you're looking for a voc ed job, maybe diesel technology or diesel mechanic is the way to go. So call Waste Management and ask them about the diesel technician jobs for sale. 877-220-5627. Great company to work for. Okay, so lots to talk about this week. I don't know, you were with Linda this morning, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you guys talked about, but hopefully we won't be overdoing it again. But as always, I want to start with something a tad, it's not necessarily local, but something each and every one of us should be able to get involved in. And I want you to call your senators, I want you to call your congressmen, and talk to them about the TPP, which is Trans-Pacific Partnership. TP? And the EPA regulations overreach, I think, and it's my opinion anyways. So let's start with that first track, Derek. I want to talk a little bit about the EPA trying to get into your backyard.
President Barack Obama on Wednesday claimed dominion over all of America's streams, creeks, brooks, wetlands, and perhaps even puddles in a sweeping move to assert unilateral federal authority. The rule comes as part of the Clean Waters Act, and federal officials claim it will help businesses comply with regulations. The Supreme Court has twice questioned the breadth of powers decreed in the act, prompting regulators to say on Wednesday they will not interfere with private property rights or address land use. Well, I guess we're going to have to take them at their word.
And you can keep your doctor and your insurance plan as well. I this one scares me. It really does, because I'm a guy, when I bought my first big piece of property, I had a lot of wetlands on it, and I realized very quickly in the town that I had moved into that the local township board was trying to add rules to the existing DNR regulations. I'm like, wait a minute, man. You want to regulate my property to the point where I can't even utilize it? And I think farmers... And people, and I've been there, where you have a seasonal puddle, and you might get the occasional cattail growing in it, and all of a sudden it's wetland. Oh, you can't disturb that, it's wetland. Really? Are you kidding me?
Who are these animals that want to live in a wetland anyway? I want to be in a dry land.
Yeah, those frogs, turtles, the nuisance.
Yeah, all that noise they make.
How many times do those I have to peepers. Stop my car in the middle of the road to move that stupid turtle across because he's too slow, you know? Actually, I've seen a few people doing that lately, which is kind of cool.
I've done that.
I've done it many times, and I'm getting tired of it. Doggone it.
I'll never get tired of it.
Can we just get rid of those wetlands? Everyone knows I'm being facetious. I'm a big wetland lover.
You're a malaria supporter, aren't you?
I'm not a friend of mosquitoes, dude, by any stretch of the imagination. I did throw those little dunks in all my seasonal ponds back when I had that property just to make sure the mosquitoes would die.
Did you know that's why the French had to pull out from trying to build the Panama Canal?
Really?
Yeah. The mosquitoes, the malaria and everything, they just couldn't do it. And that's how, when we took that over, that's how we were able to build it. Because we realized that the malaria problem had to be solved, and we were able to trace it back to mosquitoes and all that good stuff.
Quinine. Got to have that quinine. Drink a lot of gin and tonic. That's why I drink gin and tonic in the summertime. I drink a lot of it to keep the mosquitoes and the malaria away.
That explains a lot.
There's nothing wrong with a little gin and tonic. That special little silver mug with the glass bottoms. Do you know, have you ever seen those glasses? Boy, we're getting way off track here. Sometimes this just happens between the two of us here.
Yeah.
You ever see the mugs with the glass bottoms?
I think so.
Okay. They serve a lot of gin and tonics. And in our family, anyways, I inherited those from my mom and dad. But I always asked my dad, I was like, why is there glass on the bottom of this? And I guess the story goes, back in the old days, when the British Navy would come into taverns to seize guys and drag them aboard ships to serve.
Oh, yeah.
They would wait until a guy was holding his tankard up and swilling his beer down or whatever he was drinking, and then they would club him on the head. Well, if the glass bottom, they could see why they were drinking and see if the guys were coming in to bash him over. I don't know if that's true. It could be an urban myth.
That's a great story.
Isn't it?
I love that.
Yeah, so I am partial to those little glass bottom mugs I have when I'm drinking gin and tonic in the summer.
I forget the term that was used when the British would come in there and basically...
Impressment.
Yes, impressment. I always like that word.
Yes. Impressment.
They would basically kidnap. Just kind of like the North Koreans were doing to the Japanese.
Yeah.
Where they would come in there in those secret little submarines and kidnap Japanese people that were down by the docks or, you know, and some near the shore, and take them back to Korea and force them to live there and teach the Koreans how to speak Japanese, their intelligence agency.
Well, this is kind of like the Obama administration impressing your creeks, rivers, ditches, and puddles. You know.
You're not impressed.
I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, though they are trying to impress
Yes. Your
rivers. Like, anyways, all I'm saying is, do something about this. I've said it before. Go to GaryWellings.com or go to TheDailyDrift.com. I've got the contact pages on you. Log in your congressmen and your senators' phone numbers. Those phone calls make a difference. If they get 300-400 phone calls a day on an issue, you can bet your bottom dollar that goes to Senator Stabenow or Senator Peters. They're going to say, hey, we've had a lot of calls from constituents saying, don't vote for that Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. And for all you union guys out there, for all you people looking for work, remember NAFTA. Remember NAFTA, that whooshing sound we talked about not long ago. Ross Perot, NAFTA sucked all those jobs out of the United States. What do you think a new Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to do? You know, for every – there was a guy on talking about it on one of the shows the other day, and he was spouting about how many jobs it's going to create and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, how many jobs is it going to take away? It may make 12,000 jobs, but take away 24,000 jobs, giving the net loss of 12,000. Hello, do the math.
Well, if you want to get into details, you big troublemaker.
I mean, honestly, I mean, come on, union people, get off your duffs, tell your union leadership, let's get the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, the Republicans are the bad guys in this one, if you ask me. Why in God's name would you want to follow the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on this one? It's just crazy. Hmm. We've got enough jobs going overseas. Let's stop that. I don't mind paying a little bit extra for that T-shirt I buy at Walmart. Let's keep the T-shirt industry down in North Carolina or wherever they make it. You know,
like my Chili Peppers
Your
T-shirt.
Hot Chili Pepper. That's a great shirt, dude. I got to have one now.
I think it was $10 on Amazon.
Peppers. Really?
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Sure. Oh, it came right from China, too. I think it says made in China.
I'll pay 20 if it's made in America. I don't mind paying my fair share. That's the way I do it. I try to buy American. You can't. It's not always easy to buy American, is it?
Hey, no, it's not. But, you know, those Chi-Coms want to give me a big discount.
We have a new
And therefore, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to bow. In this case, I'm going to bow to my Chi-Com warlords, overlords.
Well, I'm sure Gina McCarthy from the EPA is a Chi-Com, too, by the way she wants to just take over our properties and stuff. And, you know, and we didn't get to this last week, but it was funny, including these EPA regulations, last weekend, the weekend before Memorial Day, and it was the same time that they released 300 emails for Hillary from the Benghazi stuff, right? 2,300 regulations were released last Friday.
Wow.
Last Friday. You want to talk about a document dump. That's a huge document dump. It made me believe, being the conspiracy guy, that, you know what, let's drop off 300 Hillary emails to get the focus off our regulations that we're dumping on the American public. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just crazy. 2,300 regulations. That's insane.
How would you be able to, track to see if you're in compliance with that stuff?
I don't know.
You remember Bill Casey, the CIA director under Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Well, during the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, all the regulations that they put on business, it was so overwhelming that businesses, they couldn't figure it out. So, you might get fines or whatever, and you didn't know how to comply with all this stuff because it was just thousands of pages. Well, Bill Casey was a speed reader and a genius at condensing. He was a lawyer at condensing information. That's how he made his first millions, was creating these very winnowed down booklets on the regulations that you have to follow for your particular business under the FDR, New Deal.
Yeah. I mean, they should require each and every one of our senators and congressmen to take the Evelyn Wood speed reading course.
Yeah.
So that they read the darn stuff before they pass it.
I remember those commercials on the Bill Kennedy Show.
The Evelyn Wood, speed reading dynamics.
And I felt so inadequate because I hadn't taken that class.
I know.
For years, I felt inadequate. I still do, but even more so then because I couldn't speed read.
Yeah, I kind of saw something about that and how you're supposed to look down the middle of the page and you kind of absorb everything. And I tried it and I was like, I have no comprehension of what I just read.
Yeah, you'd see those people that supposedly were practicing technique and they're just like flipping there. They're almost like their hands couldn't move fast enough for their eyes.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking back, do you think that was a load of crap?
Probably.
It had to be.
Otherwise, they'd still be selling Evelyn Wood speed reading dynamics today.
Yeah, it was just a visual of lies of no one can read that fast.
Bill Kennedy lied to us, dude? Is that what you're shattering everything that I grew up with?
I don't know if he lied, but he sold out. He's like, sponsor, we'll take it.
The next thing you're going to tell me is Rita Bell was a scam artist, too. <You're crying. laughs> All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we talk about, we've got a whole lot to talk about. But
we'll talk about
the economy next. See you on the other side.
Wham Radio has partnered with Club Half to give our listeners a new and easy way to get half off your favorite food and fun activities all over town. Get $50 in gift certificates for only $25. Listen to Wham for the featured business. Then go to whamradio.com anytime and click on the Club Half logo. You'll be on your way to huge savings and fantastic times. Offers are limited, so don't wait to get the whole experience with Club Half.
The Club Half feature deal is Taqueria La Fiesta. Taqueria La Fiesta is Ann Arbor's hotspot for authentic Mexican cuisine. Take yourself, your family, and your friends to Taqueria La Fiesta to experience traditional Mexican dishes that will take your taste buds on a fiesta south of the border. Head on down to 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor, just east of Carpenter. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Visit online at tacosannarbor.com. But first, visit whamradio.com for your Club Half Taqueria La Fiesta certificate.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Do you still believe hard work is its own reward? Because we live in a society that values leisure above everything. Our most valued citizens are entertainers, celebrities, discovered, packaged, sold and forgotten, one after the other. School kids can name 100 of them for every philanthropist, small business owner, scientist, or soldier. 1,000 for every average parent on an assembly line or a construction site. What does it mean for our country when entertainment seems more valuable than anything else? But there are still hundreds of millions of Americans working as hard as ever. Good guys who don't seek the spotlight, but deserve it. And for the future of our country, we should demand it. We are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America, a voice for those hard at work. Join us today.
I can't have a body shape I'm in. I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift.
Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
That Tom Petty version of Oh Well is just a scorcher.
Yeah, and I never knew the name of that tune. I always thought it was Thin Legs or something. I don't know. So when you asked me about it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Tom Petty, that's a great version.
Yeah,
love that one.
I've always liked Tom Petty, but I grew up, you know, in the 70s, started driving, and the Rockets, the local Detroit band, did that version of the Fleetwood Mac song. So in my mind, it's always been a really super cool Rockets song, and I have just loyalty to them, right. You know. And then I hear, and I still do, but I hear this song from Tom Petty I discovered the other day, and I'm like, I think I might like this song a little better than the Rockets version. Yeah. So I feel almost dirty saying that. I feel like a traitor, you know, because
The
Rockets
radio's
were
awesome,
so
dude.
Cool.
Yeah, I've never seen Tom Petty in concert. It's on the bucket list. One of those things I'd like to do. Well, let's take the last segment. We were talking about NAFTA and wetlands, and John wants to put his little opinion here in on it. John, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm going to put my big opinion on how you guys doing. Listen, that Agenda 21 is the book.
Yeah.
And George H. Bush, when he was in office, went over to the UN overseas and signed it in. If you go in any city hall in the United States, in any state, and walk into the city and zoning, the city planning and zoning department, and tell them, say, show me Agenda 21. It's there in black and white. Now, our officials of the city are subject to recall, so the book Agenda 21 takes you through this thing. You say, man, that sounds almost like that Hunger Game thing. And at the end, you get to an afterword, and it says what you just read is real. And the afterword shows you all the phrases that they tell you and me, you guys. And then we vote thinking it's something else. And so now that it exposes what it is, you can say, hey, I've got the book. Get it. We don't want it. Cancel it out here. There's a name for it. And if you don't, we'll recall you. You're subject to recall. And based on that threat, the people that have done it, these people get it off of your county. Otherwise, it's going to happen. Water in a ditch, anything. They can reclaim it, even a satellite photo of an old dried lake bed in your yard, and they can say, that's a wetland. Well, it could reemerge, you know, the water table. And this couple was building a house in between two houses and a sub. They had all of their permits, all of their stakes. They were it had rained, and they were up there getting ready to put stuff out, and this EPA pulled up. These guys got out in their suits, and they said, what are you doing? They go, well, we're getting ready. We got our permits to build our house. They go, it's a wetland. You can't do it.
Yeah, and that's
and they
crazy.
They argued in court. They broke the ice on this in court. They're the first case that got recognition on what you guys are talking about to see, but it still has to go through the motions, and that's at the Supreme Court level. But this is the taking of our property. And that other thing you talked about, this trade agreement thing, if he gets it through, it's going to be millions more of illegal aliens coming through. That's what it is.
Yeah, and we talked about last week, John. I saw an article that there are actually more Chinese immigrants coming in than Mexican immigrants at this point. So why the big rush to work with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, especially when I think we have, as I recall, and some can correct me, we already have trade agreements with all of those countries except Vietnam, I think, is the one that, that includes in this. So why are we doing everything when we already have all of those countries that have won? Why don't we just have one agreement with Vietnam and call it good?
Vietnam would say...
You're correct. Through NAFTA, we've already have that. And if somebody would do their homework and dig in and then show and point out and then put that out, a picture of it on those darn computer things or whatever it is that I don't know how to run, and make it go viral.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call. Good points as always. Take care.
God bless.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to cost you American jobs. And for you guys that are in unions, butch up. You're the ones that support Stabenow and Peters. Butch up now and call them and say, you know what? I voted for you. I demand that you stop this TPP. Or at least put something out there so we can see what's in it. I can't imagine why anybody would want to give Barack Obama fast-track power on something as important as that.
I can see the Vietnamese trade minister saying to Barack Obama, Barack Obama, you number one. Now we want in.
I think I've had a few shirts in my lifetime that were made in Vietnam. So, and I'm surprised. You know, I'm like, ooh, I wonder if this was made at machine gun point. Maybe.
Yeah.
It could be. But anyways, do your part. I mean, we can all sit back and wait for the elections, but then it's too late. 2016 is far off. You need to get on the horn and call your congressmen, call your senators, email them, pester them. You know, the best time to do it is on your way into work and on your way home from work. Or at lunch if you get bored. Sometimes you can do it at lunch. You know?
I think the only way I'm going to be interested in the Republican debates is if Lisa Lampanelli MCs or actually runs. It's the only way I'll be fired up.
It'll be entertaining, I think. Why George Pataki? Really? Governor of New York? I mean, I know his name.
One of many.
I couldn't tell you what he looks like for the life of me. The name's familiar, but really? You're going to throw your hat in the ring just because?
How many Georges are there? Okay, there's... Wait, George Bush isn't running again. There's Jeb.
There's a Jeb Bush.
Strike that. There's only one George.
Has he officially announced Jeb? I don't think he has he?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, but it'll probably the next few weeks here.
There's some campaign law that allows him to make more money before he...
Oh, is that the way it works?
I think so. I think that's what it is. He can do speeches, and that's what Hillary was doing.
That makes
that's
sense. Yeah, before you officially declare, you can get all of your...
you can make the big money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Hillary was out still banking up those $500,000 speeches so she can self-fund, I guess.
Yeah, they're so well worth it.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay a dime to see Hillary speak. Really.
I would only, if I could be a heckler in the audience, I would probably pay $100.
You don't think they'd throw you out?
Like if the Secret Service and the organizers of it wouldn't throw me out, if I just knew, okay, I paid my $100, I have this guarantee I can be a heckler, I would do it.
It's a Clinton organized crime unit, dude. They wouldn't just throw you out. They'd take you into the back alley and punch in the stomach a few times. Some guy with a big cigar in his face. Get out of here!
You'd be buried right next to Vince Foster.
Who do you think you are? Who do you think you're messing with? This is the Clintons.
We got a spot reserved for you between Vince Foster and Ron Brown. Come here, son.
Ron Brown.
Let's show you how it works.
Yeah, he died in a plane crash, right? Yeah, with a hole in the top of his head. Where'd that come from? I don't know. Ask Hillary and Bill.
I don't know. Just ask Alex Jones. He'll tell you.
That was what I posted that on Facebook, and I had more hits than you can imagine.
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure I'm on the Clinton hit list now just because I reposted it. So
I know so, I am if she's, well, she's never heard of me, but you know, as much as I've
dude, when the station goes dark, because Hillary Clinton's have been elected and the fairness doctrine or whatever, the FEMA camps, dude, I'm sure there's a FEMA coffin and a FEMA camp that I've already been scheduled for either termination or re-education.
And you know who the secretary of the FEMA camps will be, don't you? Bernadine Dorn.
No.
And her husband will be the chief commandant.
She'll have a, what's that little stick they have, the baton, in her fishnet stockings. Drake, you must get on the floor and give me push-ups.
Some people pay big money for that.
Out of the FEMA camp,
dude. You the FEMA matrix.
It's free at the FEMA camp. Come on in.
I volunteer for FEMA camp.
All right, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. another Democrat running for president.
To all who can hear my voice, I declare that I am a candidate for president of the United States, and I am running for you.
That's Maryland Governor and former Baltimore Mayor Martin O'Malley running on a platform of restoring the American dream.
And so we will, no matter the odds, no matter how tough the fight, no matter how big the challenge. And that is the urgent calling for us today, to rebuild the American dream now in our time.
But the presidential run forcing O'Malley to defend his legacy as Baltimore mayor. Syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
It's a real problem. I mean, if you say you were mayor of Baltimore and you were committed to improving things there, improving the crime rate and the rest, and it hasn't been done, I think that's a real problem for him.
Thomas appearing on Fox News. No problems as protesters gather at an Arizona mosque for a free speech rally. The Blaze Radio's Brad James with that story.
The people that did this protest, I don't know who they are, but what they're saying is, we will not submit. We will not be cowed.
Speaking on Fox and Friends, that's Pamela Geller, executive director of the American Freedom Defense Initiative. Another Draw Muhammad cartoon contest in Phoenix going on without incident as cops were geared up and prepared. Organizers say the rally was held in response to the May 3rd attack in Garland, Texas, where two terrorists who worshipped at the mosque opened fire at an exhibit featuring depictions of the Prophet Muhammad.
I'm here because I'm not tolerant of the intolerant. I've read parts of the Quran, speaks of killing Jews. I am a Jew, and I'm going to stand up for what I am.
William Leibowitz joining the demonstration in front of the Islamic Community Center of Phoenix to protest. Brad James, The Blaze News.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area seeing another round of heavy rain. Rivers in the area swelling in the last week as the record rainfall continues. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net. Wigs for Kids provides custom fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment and other medical conditions. To learn more about how your contribution can make a difference in the life of a Michigan child, please call Wigs for Kids at 586-772-6656 or visit www.wigsforkids.org. That's Wigs, the number 4, kids.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit ALZ.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Welcome back to another rocking edition of The Drift.
Yeah.
Drake's on fire today, dude. You're pulling up some winners there.
I know. I mean, you got to get pumped up, fired up. It's summer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Well, great, man. So let's get through a few things. We got the callers backing up, but I want to thank the caller. We didn't catch his name, who corrected us or advised us that the baton that Bernadette Dorn would use at the FEMA camp is actually a riding crop. Riding crop.
It's even sexier.
There's nothing sexy about Bernadette Dorn.
You're crazy. I don't know, man. They might feed you some peyote at the FEMA camp, and everything looks sexy then.
All right, so let's talk economy real quick and lack of transparency from our government about it. We were talking about earlier in the year, they said the economy's growing, and oh my goodness, after they correct it, it's not. We had a 7% decrease in the first quarter for GDP.
Mm.
Okay, so it went from a 0.2% annual growth to a negative 0.7% negative growth.
That's drastic.
That is very drastic. I mean, it's crazy. How can they just make this stuff up and then a month or two later say, you know, we had a minor correction of 0.5% the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that happens quite a bit with these GDP revisions, and I think that there'll be yet another revision. I think there's at least three or four before it's final.
Yeah. And jobless claims ticked up again this last reporting period. So I don't know. I call it the Obama economy on the dailydrift.com all the time because I'm not sure that this is a recovery. I really am not. I mean, I'm doing a little better, but I've always been working my butt off one way or the other, so I don't know, jobless again. Well, let's move on to another little bit
You feel like, even though it feels like this very false sense of security, if you can even say security, that's a kind of you're exaggerating if you say security, but if you feel like things have stabilized, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're waiting for, okay, this something is not right. And the inevitable is going to happen where we're in some deep, deep, you know what, coming up. And I think that's in the back of everybody's head.
Yeah, and I think it should be. When you're sporting the debt, I mean, when you include Social Security, Medicare, and all the other debt, it's just not the $17 trillion debt we always hear. Mm-hmm. It's about $100 trillion in total debt the United States government is carrying right now. There's not enough gold in Fort Knox to cover that, folks. That's all I can say.
There's not enough bitcoins online either. But... And also, you know, the infrastructure repair that hasn't even been touched.
Yeah.
I mean, that's trillions more there.
Yeah. Well, I think this transparency is just pervasive. And it's not just the Democrats. I think the Republicans are just as bad. And I kind of look forward to a Republican hopefully getting into office next time around, because I'm going to hold his feet to the fire, or hers, if it's Carly Fiorina or whoever else. I'm going to be just as tough, if not more, because, you know, they should know better. But... there was an article that I put on the Daily Drift. If you haven't been going to the Daily Drift, please do so. www.thedailydrift.com. The State Department just set a 22-year record for delaying the release of human rights reports for other countries around the world. Now, question is, why are they doing this? Derek, you got track 2 available? This is a press conference with Jeff Rathke from the State Department. Let's run that one.
As of today, the 2014 Human Rights Report is 90 days past its federally mandated deadline of February 25th. Why hasn't the State Department released that report yet, for one?
I can check and see if there's an update on that. I know, we've just been trying to find a scheduling opportunity for release, so I don't have any.
Okay. Is the State Department at all concerned, or the administration at all concerned, that releasing this report would interfere with the Iranian nuclear talks or with the TPP or the TPP negotiations?
Not that I've heard.
Yeah, not that I we're just holding it back for no reason. You're dealing with Iran, you're dealing with Vietnam and Korea and a bunch of other countries. How about getting this information out? Why? Because you don't want to make the Iranians angry. You don't want to make the Vietnamese angry when you're in the middle of a negotiation. Just give us the bloody information. You know, let the chips fall where they may. Stop hiding stuff from us. Crying out loud, I'm getting angry about it.
And the State Department has almost been throughout our history almost like a fifth column within our country. And you talk about a bloated bureaucracy of waste and incompetence. And, you know, I know this sounds very simplistic, but to me, like, a part of me wants to say, State Department, let's just... get rid of it totally, but let's really hack that one as far as cutting cost.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something. My journalistic spider sense went off when I was viewing this video this morning. And that spokesperson's name is Jeff Rathke. And I was thinking to myself, Rathke, Rathke, Rathke. Why does that sound familiar?
It does sound familiar.
Wayne Rathke? You think this is maybe a relative, son, daughter, nephew of Wayne Rathke? Hmm. Wayne Rathke is co-founder of Acorn. I'm thinking to myself, the spelling's the same. I tried Googling it up this morning. I couldn't really find any ties. But I'm asking myself, is this something Obama would do? Let's give that Acorn guy's family a job in the State Department.
You almost said that like the church lady saying Satan. Instead
of, could that be Obama?
Could that be Acorn?
I mean, seriously, if anybody can do something better than I'm trying to, I'm betting dollars to donuts, this Jeff Rathke spokesperson is related to Wayne Rathke, founder of Acorn.
Hey, I'm going to plead ignorance here, and I've heard you and Theron say this quite a bit, dollars to donuts. What does that mean?
I'm betting dollars to donuts. Well, in today's economy, I would say a donut is worth more than dollars, so I'm getting the better end of the deal.
Okay, so the donuts are the hard currency, and the dollar is the useless paper.
Yes. I'm going to go to the store and buy bread and milk with donuts, because it's worth more than my dollar.
Well, hopefully someday the donuts become worthless as much as the currency, like when they would in post-World War I Germany. Remember, they'd have the wheelbarrows full of marks, and the thieves would dump the wheelbarrow of the cash and run off with the wheelbarrow. So this scenario would be like you dump the donuts and you run off with the box.
Yes, yes. That Dunkin' Donuts is good because it holds. It's never mind. Mm. All right, let's take a call from Walter, who's been waiting patiently on the line. Walter, we're having too much fun. What do you got? Walter? Walter? No Walter.
No Walter.
All right, well, let me put him
call
on
back,
hold
Walter.
In case I screwed that up, maybe. Maybe we had him on hold so long he had to go hit the little boy's room or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's on line two.
Let's take line two. Ken from Livonia. Oh, welcome to the show, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with you that now up until a couple of days ago, I was planning to pretty much skip the Republican primary because I didn't see any candidates that worth my time.
But you like Rick.
Oh, yeah. I think Rick Santorum definitely shares my views. I mean, there's nobody that's perfect, of course, but I'm someone that's independent. I'm definitely pro-life. I'm definitely traditional biblical view of marriage, traditional views on everything else, and that's one thing I see in Rick Santorum, that he appears to hold firm to those views, and so I think it's going to be an interesting primary. I think people are going to have their choices. Well, what bothers me, because I see history repeating itself again, is the conservatives are going to split the vote, I believe, and I believe they're going to allow a rhino who can't win against a Democrat. History has proven that to be the truth. I believe that's going to happen. Now,
well, you know, that's on us, Ken. I mean, I could vote for Rick Santorum. I at this point, this early on, I don't know that he's top runner. I like Rick Santorum. I always have. I don't know that he can get that moderate people behind him. Maybe if he gets out and talks to people and people will learn to like him more. I think he's a likable guy.
I like him.
I would have no problem voting for Rick Santorum, but I think it's on him and those of us who would support his values and his views to get off our butts and A, contribute, and B, more importantly, campaign for the guy. If you like Rick Santorum, you should have a sign out in your yard now. You should be manning the phone lines, doing all those things that, you know, and that's what each of us has to do, whoever your candidate is. Get involved and campaign for them, because just sitting back and waiting for the election day doesn't work anymore, because there's so many people being sandbagged and trucked in and paid for their votes that those of us who just decide to show up on election day, your vote doesn't matter. It's the guy that's campaigning and getting 5, 10, 15 other people to vote the way you do. Now you matter. And so I think that's on us, Ken. We're going to have to get our butts off and try to get Jeb Bush out of the running. You know what I mean? We're going to have to get those moderate winning ninnies, whatever they are, get them out. You know, I have no desire to vote for Jeb Bush, absolutely none. And well, and I hope guys like Santorum and Ted Cruz can get up and do a little more, but it's on each of us to help out, you know.
Well, one thing I'll be curious to see how it plays out now. One national radio talk show host, Mark Levin, for example, has already announced, and I agree with his what he plans to do, is to pick maybe two highly conservative candidates that he thinks would be the best choice before the primary even begins, and to start supporting them and start trying to get more and more people to support them. And I think that's something that conservatives across the board, I was actually on Mark Levin's show this past week talking about how there's no way, no how I would ever vote for Jeb Bush or any moderate candidate. So if the Republican Party wants the vote of people like myself, they better get behind the conservative. And so I think that what needs to be done then before the primary even gets there is conservatives need to weed out, do their homework, check the voting records, and find a conservative candidate and get behind them. Don't split the vote, because if you start splitting the vote like we've seen happen in the past, we're going to end up losing the national election.
Yeah, well, in the primary and before the primary, you need to vote your conscience. You pick the very best candidate you want, and hopefully he wins that primary, or she wins the primary, and you go from there. But in the end, I will vote for a Republican over Hillary Clinton or, God bless him, Martin O'Malley. Drake and I were talking about Martin O'Malley and his Putin-esque. He's all in shape and buff and stuff, you know.
He's
going to win a lot of women's votes probably, because he's the handsome guy that's in great shape. He'll probably do an underwear model gig to raise money for his campaign, and he'll probably win the election.
That's one thing I've told the Republican Party that will never happen as far as my vote. And I've used the way of describing it is you have the Democrats driving the country off the cliff at 100 miles an hour, and you have a rhino
at 60.
Trying to drive the yes. country off the same cliff, just a little slower. But
yeah,
they both
that's exactly
heading
right.
for the same cliff. And that's why I personally will never in a million years vote again for anyone that is a moderate rhino, because they're, again, they're heading for the same cliff, because they believe in big bloated government just like the Democrats do.
Okay. All right. Well, great points, Ken. As always, love having you call into the show. Thank you very much.
You guys take care.
You too,
have
Ken.
Have a great weekend.
You know, Rick Santorum, you know, it's kind of a cool name. Rick Santorum. I always thought that was kind of a cool name.
I always think of sanatorium.
Yeah, that's true,
you
too.
Know, sanatorium. Isn't that where they kept the crazy people in the 1800s? Old Millie's been sent off to the sanatorium.
And with tuberculosis, too, right?
Yes. Now, I like Rick Santorum. I could easily vote for Rick Santorum.
See, what I like about him, which many people say they don't like about him, is that I like his kind of bulldog in your face scowl and tenacity. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
It shows that he cares.
Here's the other thing the Republicans need to do. As they weed through this primary and people drop off, they need to consolidate. You know, why Romney didn't say to Rick Santorum as soon as he dropped out last time, I want you to be Health and Human Service Secretary. You know, that might have been enough to get people who really liked him, you know, because Health and Human Services is going to take care of that right to life issue, right? It might have been enough to get someone like Ken to maybe think about voting for Romney. Probably not, Ken. I know you wouldn't have voted for him. But it might have. There might have been millions of people who said, well, Rick Santorum's my guy. If he's going to work for Romney as the HHS secretary, yeah, I'll vote for him.
I mean,
so the Republicans need to do that.
That could be the case, but there, and we've talked about this, there's possibly two reasons somebody like a Rick Santorum would not do that, would not accept that position. One, they look at it like, hey, I'm not going to be, I've already been a U.S. senator. I know what power is about. I know how things work. I'm not going to be a secretary under your administration. Their egos, their ambitions, everything else play into that. And also, they can make a lot more money in the private sector and be prepared for round two, which is what Santorum is doing.
Yeah, which is what he's doing now. Now, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would have that ego, but who knows what discussions went on behind the scenes, you know.
You don't get to where they are in life, career-wise, without that ego and total belief in your system, even if it might be a legitimate, justified belief because of your talents and everything. But I think a lot of times it goes even beyond that, where they think they're greater than they really are. And that's how they get to where they're at.
Yeah. Now let's take call one. Is that still Walter on the line? Yeah, there we go. Hey, Walter, you there?
Hey, I'm here this time. You hear me?
Hey, man.
We caught you going to the restroom, didn't we, Walter?
No, man, it must have been a technical difficulty because I was still holding on, calling your names. I was making statements. I was like, man, you guys sound like two stand-up comedians. you sure you guys didn't miss your calling or what?
Two failed comedians.
But let me say this real quick, boy. I'm probably going to make a bunch of people mad today, but Ken, I know he just got off the phone. There he go with that his old evil ways again. I say this, you know, I really respect the man, like his comments, but man, there he go with that on his little soapbox again about who he won't vote for. These people, they talk about who they wouldn't vote for, like the Republicans. I know they're not the greatest, but I tell you what, I'll take the devil over any Democrat. And if the last, like I said before, if the last man standing is Jeb Clampett Bush, I would vote for him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I'd do so with a sour taste in my mouth, Walter, if that happens. But over Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton or Martin O'Malley, I'll have to do Bush with I'll pull the lever. I won't be happy about it. I'll be very unhappy about it. But, you know, in the end, I'll take the lesser of two evils. As Ken said, I'd rather go over the cliff at 60 than 100 because at 60, I might be able to survive a jump out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but you know what? That's the same nonsense. These people, they're a bunch of hypocrites talking about who they wouldn't vote for. I guarantee you, if you go to a store, grocery store, I give a million examples. You go to a grocery store, let's say if your employer was a Mormon, would you not accept that paycheck from that Mormon? Okay, we're talking about Mitt Romney. A lot of people didn't vote for him because he's a Mormon, right? Including a lot of so-called born-again Christians. They're hypocrites, man. You go to that store, you don't know who's running the store. It could be a mass murder. You're going to still go to that store and buy his product.
Yeah.
It's going to benefit you. And the same, likewise, you should have voted for this man if this man was not against America, like Barack Insane Osama. And I tell you what, as far as these Republican candidates, man, they're a bunch of, they got as much authority and fire as a dead body in the casket, man.
Yeah, that's true, Walter.
They're boring.
That's true. Boring is exactly the word. The Republicans just don't stand up. Get a little fire and brimstone underneath it.
That's right.
And talk. And Rick Santorum will do that. I've seen Rick Santorum do that.
I think he will. And I hope his handlers don't try to tamp that down to make him, quote, more likable, because that's not going to make him more likable to me.
Yeah, same with Ted Cruz, man. When you see Ted Cruz on a roll, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And guess what? And when all these people came forth, and the ones that we heard already that announced that they're running for president, this Ben Carson, he bored me to death, man. He ain't got no fire, and this is another black guy talking, Walter Burns, you know. I'm saying when I heard some of them guys, it's like they're trying to fulfill our wish list. Well, I will cut the deficit. They all said the same program stuff. I'm going to be for the middle class. I'm going to get America back to work. They all say that. You can predict what they're going to say. They should be calling out all of the news media people like that Cruz guy did. He called that guy out when he asked him a dumb homosexual question. He put his butt on. He turned the questions on him. And they should be telling America how gas prices are still too high. Everything has gone up and tripled under Barack Obama. Jobs have gone down. How they need to talk about how he's against the oil. The oil, he's you know what? Barack Obama is basically performing his economic jihad against America. You notice he talk about the same thing: oil, energy, the rich. We need to tax them 95%. That's economic jihad on this country, man.
Yes.
And that's
a nice way of putting it, Walter. That's a real nice way of putting
it. You cannot bring the middle class or the working class or the lower class, however you want to, you know, the underprivileged class, however you want to describe people who don't make a lot of money, by hurting the rich. The rich are the ones that have the creative ideas, the talent, they provide the jobs. So if you're going to help the middle class and classes that make less money, the rich, by necessity, have to benefit as well. That's just the way it works. That's economic reality.
It's called incentive, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great comments,
Walter. Trickle-down economics. That's exactly what it is, and nothing ever works that's different from that, period.
Yep. Well, thanks, Walter. Appreciate the call.
See you guys.
All right, thanks. Take care. Let's take a call from Joe and wind up before we run out of time. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks. You hit the nail on the head about naming a cabinet in advance. I've been on this during the McCain campaign and the Romney campaign. Whoever the nominee is, don't care who it is, they should name Alan West Secretary of Defense and have him out on the campaign trail. They should name Ben Carson, head of VA or HHS, have him out on the campaign trail. Sarah Palin, going to be director or in charge of the Energy Department, have her out on the campaign trail.
Yeah, you know, it for me, I want to see a candidate who's, A, got a cabinet ready to go, even if some of those people are contingency. B, I want to see the details. The devil's in the details. If you're going to put the middle class to work, how? What's your plan? You know, right. if you're going to increase the spending in the military, how are you going to do it? Where are you going to cut to make sure that – what bad programs in the military are you going to cut? Because you know we have some. I want to see – it doesn't have to be minutia, but at least have some details to your plan. And I haven't seen that from any presidential candidate since Kennedy? Maybe? I don't know.
And if you're going to make your campaign about cutting three departments, remember the third one.
That's exactly right.
Linda hates it when I say that because she loves Rick Perry so much.
I didn't like Rick Perry for one reason. I thought at one time he had said he wasn't up for closing the border. And that bothers me. You know.
What was his logic behind that? Anything?
I can't remember. I think he reversed himself anyways. But Joe, what else you got? Anything?
Three I'm supporting right now are Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, and Rick Santorum. I supported Santorum in 2012 over Romney. Those were really kind of, when it came down to the wire, the two choices we had, and we landed up with Romney.
Yeah.
I don't know if Santorum will have any momentum from the last time being in second place, because we have that nominate the guy that failed the last time mentality. So that may be good or bad for him. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, Joe, always great call, great comments.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend. All right. So, yeah, you got to vote your conscience in the primary. You need to campaign for your candidates of choice. Now, last time around, man, mine died one after another. I started out with Herman Cain, and then he ended up dropping because of the women issue. And then I liked Gingrich, and he fell out for whatever issue. I couldn't win last election. All my guys fell by the wayside and finally came down to Romney. Wasn't my first choice by any stretch of the imagination, but he would have been way better than Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it was like what you just said, them dropping out like that. It kind of reminds me of when Rudolph Giuliani first announced. And I thought, okay, you know, it wasn't that long after 9/11 and the memories of how Giuliani took leadership there and also how he cleaned up New York. And I thought, now, in organized crime and everything, I thought, now there's a guy that I could probably get excited about. And then what does he do? He basically focuses his whole campaign on Florida. And then when he's in the debates, he sounds like a befuddled, confused old man.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, didn't prep properly. I mean, there's a lot of prep goes into a debate. This is where I want to see, I'm hoping, I heard someone else kind of have the same idea the other day on a talk show. I'd like to see the debates on the Republican side go like the basketball spots, you know what I mean?
The playoffs.
I want to see two or three at a time, and the winners progress to the next one.
I like it.
I think that's a way that you would see them in their fullest.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll catch on a little bit. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and contact those senators and congressmen and women about TPP and the EPA reg.
Hey, how about all the Republican candidates? They compete on Hell's Kitchen and Gordon Ramsay screams at them and eliminates them each week. I could go for that, too.
I could, too. See you next week.